Mongrel Media. Mongrel Media presents a Sienna Films Idlewild Films production. Pieces of seaweed drift through murky water. Marion Bridge, with narrative description by Audiovision Canada. A swimmer surfaces and gazes at a nearby beach. The swimmer submerges in a cloud of bubbles. A young woman, Agnes, opens her eyes. She's sitting in an airport lounge. Agnes opens her purse. As she takes out a cigarette, her eyes dart to a nearby security guard. She returns the cigarette to its package, picks up her things, and tows two suitcases, one huge, the other smaller, across the lounge to a bar. Moments later, Agnes smokes a cigarette at the bar. Agnes's sister, Teresa, arrives.
Sorry. We've got Louise's old bucket. First, we couldn't get it started. Then we couldn't get the trunk closed. And now, apparently, the trunk won't open. Finish your drink if you want to.
No, you're fine.
That's some big suitcase. I don't know what to pack.
Me neither.
Teresa picks up the big suitcase.
Thought you quit smoking?
I quit a lot.
Well, when Teresa steps toward an exit, Agnes hurries after her.
I start smoking again. She smokes.
Agnes grabs the big suitcase.
Give me that.
No, fine.
I saw it's got wheels.
Fine.
You can let on, you're upset we're late. Teresa's all beside herself already. For God's sake, don't mention anything about her hair.
Molly Parker. They carry on toward the exit. Soon after, in the car, Agnes gazes out the window as her sister Louise drives. Rebecca Jenkins. Stacy Smith. Marguerite McNeil. Ellen Page. Music by Leslie Barber. Edited by Dean Saltis. Production designed by Bill Fleming. Director of Photography, Stefan Ivanov. Co-producer, Brent Barkley. Producer, Bill Niven. Producers, Jennifer Kawaja, Julia Serena. Written by Daniel McIver. Directed by Wiebke von Karelsfeld. In the car, Agnes puts a cigarette in her mouth and opens a window.
Oh, Agnes.
I thought you quit.
She quits a lot, apparently. Can't you wait 5 minutes?
So what happened to your hair, Louise?
See?
For God's sake.
She cut it. That's what happened to it.
Can't cut your own hair, Louise.
Well, I've been cutting my own hair for years now, and it's never been a problem till now, till you.
We'll fix it up later.
I won't be doing nothing to it. I can guarantee you that.
It's no more of a mess than you usually make of it.
Shut up.
You shut up.
Shut up.
Later, coats lie flung over an easy chair beside a stack of newspapers in the living room of a plain old house. In the kitchen, Teresa sits at a table reading a newspaper while Louise stands over the sink cutting her collar-length hair. Upstairs, Agnes takes a hat box out of a closet.
Agnes! It's already almost 6:30.
Agnes takes a bottle of liquor and a hip flask out of the hat box.
Agnes, they start kicking visitors out at 7:45.
Agnes fills the flask with booze.
I'm coming. I'm just changing.
In the kitchen, Teresa puts aside her newspaper and fills a kettle with water. Later, as the sisters gather around their mother Rose's hospital bed, Teresa shows her a cake and blows out its single candle.
I tell you what I could wish for. I wish I was back in my other room.
What did you wish for?
Nothing, be quiet.
Sticking me down this head with rings like that. And the moaning and the groaning all night long. And she pees the bed.
Mother.
Oh, she does.
Look, I got you a nice, well, it's one of those candles you like. Nice, eh? Lavender. You like lavender.
Oh, I can't smell nothing but pee. What happened to your hair, Louise?
Louise stalks out of the room.
For God's sake.
Teresa hurries after Louise. Agnes steps closer to the bed.
I brought you something.
She takes the flask out of her purse.
Oh, you angel. Tell me that there's a cigarette to go with it. And guard the door.
Agnes stands watch as her mother drinks from the flask. Later.
Well, it's just sad. It's Donnie this, Donnie that, Donnie, Donnie. Oh, and has she been going on about the tree yet? Oh, Lord, the tree, the tree. Oh, no, it's not a tree at all. You know that. It's him. Just let him go. It's all you have to do. It's not that hard.
Agnes is irritated by this remark.
Okay, Mother. Let's get rid of the evidence.
I'll hang on to it.
Rose slips the flask behind her back.
Oh, Mother, you could blend a bit.
As she smooths the makeup on Rose's face, the sick woman gazes up at her, pleading with her eyes. Agnes turns away.
Closing time. I'll go round with the girls.
As she steps away, Rose turns her head and stares out a window. Later, as the three drive through the darkness, Agnes stares out the window at passing storefronts.
So you want to get dropped somewhere?
Like where?
I don't know. I just think you'd be meeting your friends at the bar or whatever.
No.
You going out later?
No, I'm just tired. I just want to go home.
Teresa and Louise glance at each other. At the house, channels are surfed on a TV set. Louise presses buttons on the remote, then examines her hair in a mirror. Agnes waves away a cloud of smoke.
Sorry.
Whatever. Suppose if you're smoking up the hospital with Mother, you can be smoking here.
Teresa pours herself a mug of tea.
So, what are your plans? You moving back in here?
Well, I mean, you know, for now. Until Donnie comes to his senses. Well, living at the hotel is just getting to be too expensive. And there's room here. What about you? How long are you staying?
I don't know. Things are kind of flexible right now.
Oh, yeah? You still at that same restaurant?
I'm taking a bit of a break.
Another holiday, is it?
She stares pointedly at Agnes.
Not really.
Teresa leans toward her.
It's not going to be the go like it was when you were here Christmas. Sketchy types coming and going, in and out of here, all hours of the night and day. You had her scared, half out of her wits.
Please, she's not a baby.
No, no, there's no question as to who the baby is. Stay as long as you want. Stay a week, stay two. But just don't be starting any trouble.
Agnes averts her eyes.
No. You promise?
Yes.
Good night.
Agnes hurries out of the kitchen. Next morning, as Agnes leaves the house, a woman holding a small dog approaches.
Oh, it's good to see you home again so soon.
Hi, Avery.
I guess that wouldn't be good news, though, would it? She's getting close, is she?
And nobody's saying anything specific.
No, they never do when it's bad. I heard they moved her to the third floor. There's not many make it off the third floor.
Agnes walks away angrily.
Where are you off to so early in the morning?
Is that the same dog you've always had, Evie?
The same little pumpkin. 15 in February.
Oh, dear. Won't be long now, will it?
As Agnes gets into the car, Evie walks off, insulted. Agnes drives away in an old Chevrolet Caprice. She cruises along a four-lane highway. Later, she takes a coastal road. Lobster traps crowd a dock beside a fishing boat. As she passes through a village, Agnes slows and pulls onto the shoulder. She gazes intently across the road at a small house which incorporates a craft shop. As Agnes watches, a small figure steps out the front door. Agnes puts the car in gear and drives off, looking back at the figure as the car moves away. She drags on her cigarette, exhales, and smiles. Later, she arrives home.
Where the heck were you?
Nowhere.
See?
It's not the other world. She's back, I told you.
Where were you?
Nowhere, just cruising around.
Keys.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize you guys needed to be somewhere.
We got our prayer meeting, which we nearly missed.
We didn't nearly miss it. We're fine on time.
You're going now?
Well, we should have been gone 15 minutes ago.
Well, shut up and come on then. I'll come with you.
What?
I'll come.
Can I come?
To the prayer meeting?
Yeah.
Why?
You don't want me to come.
No! Come on, come on.
Might want to grab an umbrella there, Louise.
What for?
Never know what kind of a mess going to be coming down. It's flying today.
The three leave the house. A flashy pickup truck parks beside a church. A woman steps out of the truck and strides toward the church. Inside, Agnes looks nervously around the prayer circle. She watches Louise praying beside the woman who arrived in the pickup. The woman places her hand on Louise's. Agnes sees this and smiles. 18 people sit in a circle praying. After the meeting, everyone leaves the church. Agnes lights up the second she's out the door and steps toward the Chevy with Teresa. The doors are locked.
Oh, well, in the name of God, she locks it right beside the church. It's not like it's New York or something.
Who is that?
She's Jenkinson. They run the dairy out by the reserve.
Louise is talking with the woman who sat beside her.
Agnes.
What?
What?
Nothing.
Louise!
Louise ignores her.
Louise!
Louise keeps chatting with Jenkinson. Agnes grins.
What? Nothing, what?
Louise!
Later at the hospital.
What's her name there? Oh. With the dogs.
Now, Mother, that's not for us to judge. Charlie remembered you in our prayers.
God bless. Not many like him.
Louise's fun was there.
Who?
The fancy truck.
Oh, the Jenkins. Oh, she has an excellent memory. She knows the name of all the patron saints in the order of what they're patron of.
She seemed like a nice lady.
She's not a lady.
Well, what is she then?
I don't know.
You two seem to be having a good talk.
Yeah, well, she was just telling about trying to sell her truck.
You should invite her for dinner sometime.
What? I'm gonna get a pop.
No, wait, Louise, we need to have a talk.
You have her over for dinner if you want to.
No, I mean, we all need to have a talk about Mother.
Soon after, the sisters leave the room.
Oh, you're something else, aren't you? You're just something else. The doctor said that if there was someone there to look after her, there's no reason why Mother couldn't come home.
And what are you doing talking to the doctor?
Why shouldn't I be?
You're something else. Waltzing in here. And whose eye is it supposed to be on her? I work 4 days a week for Father Dan, and with her back, this one can barely lift the remote control.
I will be there.
Oh, God.
Mother said she wants to come home.
Because you put the idea in her head.
You don't want Mother to come home?
Who's going to take care of her?
I will.
You will.
That's a joke.
Hey. Louise throws the car keys to Teresa.
Where are you going?
I'm walking.
Louise steps away.
I quit drinking.
Oh, what about the drugs?
Everything.
100 and what's time?
I am 65 days sober.
Agnes, who are you trying to kid? I can smell it off you now.
No, that's the flask that I brought Mother. It was leaking in my bag.
Teresa absorbs this information.
Yep. You're going to take some good care of her, aren't you?
She gives the keys to Agnes and stalks off. Later, Agnes makes a call from a phone booth.
Hey, Sharon, it's Angie. I just want to let you know I got in okay. Things are good. Everybody's, you know, please, I'm going to be staying and all that. I haven't found a meeting yet, but I'm getting on that tomorrow. And that's it, I guess. Say hi to everybody at the group, and you can call me at... You know what? Actually, I'll call you, okay? Bye-bye. Oh, and you're right. I don't miss Toronto one bit.
Agnes smiles, but her expression gradually turns gloomy. She enters a bar. She elbows the man beside her.
Hey, Sandy.
Hey, how you doing? What?
He wouldn't believe you were home because you weren't here. Sorry to hear about your mom. Here she's being transferred to the third floor.
Where'd you hear that?
Edie McClellan.
They're just coming home, actually.
Oh. For the duration of it.
Or whatever. Yeah. That's sad.
That's sad.
Agnes's mom. It's hard.
Fucking hard, too.
So, what's the news up in Toronto? See any concerts?
Fucking hard.
Oh, for the love of God, Sandy, get it together.
Fuck off, Marlene.
Don't you fucking tell me to fuck off.
Fucking tell you to fuck off my own fucking house.
We're in a tavern, you arsehole.
Whatever. Fuck you.
Fuck you, Sandy.
Fuck you yourself.
Agnes walks toward the exit.
Sandy! You're scaring people away again. Hey!
Teresa is reading the paper when Agnes gets home.
Hey. I was on the phone this evening to some places. Tomorrow they'll be delivering a hospital bed. One of them tables goes up and down and a bedpan. So what I'd like to know is who's going to handle the bedpan?
I'll handle the bedpan.
Teresa looks at her skeptically. Agnes smiles. The next day, while the others are out, Agnes ties up piles of newspapers and cleans up stacks of dirty dishes. She puts away skates and other stuff. Sorting through junk, she finds an old biscuit tin and opens it. Inside, she finds old letters and photos. And sorts through them. Later, Agnes scrubs the floor on her hands and knees.
Hey!
Louise enters and looks around the kitchen.
Hey, where are my papers? I bundled them up. I got stuff in them I'm saving. Well, they're in the basement. They better not get dirty down there.
Agnes is about to retort, but thinks better of it.
Louise! Come here. Look at these.
She picks up the photos.
My game's on.
Corner for Jones.
There's a hockey game on TV.
Jones tied up, but comes away with the puck. Sheldrake centers in front.
Found these.
Agnes sits beside Louise with the photos, but she's absorbed in the game.
Look at Mother. Remember that silly hat?
The photo shows a younger Rose wearing a sombrero.
Here, I just turned 15.
Louise smiles at the photo of Agnes with teased hair.
Oh, here's your birthday. Look how skinny you were. Mm-hmm.
You were 17. I know, because I wasn't there. That was the Marion Bridge scene.
Yeah. I don't like all that past stuff. Hmm. All right, game's on.
As Louise turns up the TV, Agnes looks at her, shrugs, and leaves.
Jones spins and shoots over the top of the net. Nice little play there.
Later, Louise searches through the now tidy kitchen cupboards. As Louise returns to the TV, Teresa arrives home from work.
Ah, somebody sure broke out the elbow grease in here. Isn't this great? Where is she?
Out back.
Teresa spots the photos lying on the kitchen table and looks through them.
Where did these come from?
She found them cleaning up.
Teresa steps into the backyard, where Agnes sits on a bench, smoking a cigarette. Teresa sits beside her.
Looks great in there. Hasn't had a clean like that in years. Did you keep your place in Toronto neat like that?
It's easier when it's not your house.
Yes, it's true. After a day of cleaning for Father Dan, it's the last thing I want to do when I get home. It's chilly.
It's nice, though.
Yes. All the time we spent out here. Sat out here a lot, we did.
Hiding from Dad. Wishing on the stars.
I'm not getting into all that.
Starlight. Star bright.
Is that what we're dragging Mother home into?
Our star I see tonight.
Agnes, I wish. Are we?
No.
What?
As Teresa turns away, troubled, Agnes peers up into the night sky. Next day, Agnes vacuums her mother's bedroom.
Louise! Louise!
What?
Come up here!
My shoe's on!
Agnes is exasperated. Downstairs, Louise surfs through TV channels. Eyes glazed, she slumps in a chair with the remote. Agnes hurries downstairs holding a bedpan. She plays the bedpan like a bongo drum.
Louise, do you know what this is?
What?
This is a bedpan. This is something that you are going to become very familiar with.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will.
Who all of a sudden made you the boss of everything?
I'm just trying to tell you.
Yeah, well, I'm not taking orders from you.
What I'm doing is...
What you're doing is coming here and causing a big ruckus, getting everybody all upset, and then you're just going to take off.
That is not what I'm doing.
Hey, we're here!
Louise steps toward Agnes.
It's what you've always done before.
She walks off, leaving Agnes at a loss. Agnes tosses the bedpan into an armchair and follows her sister outside.
I'm telling you, no, I'm not capable of carrying into my own home.
Okay.
They can carry me out, but they ain't carrying me in.
The sisters gather around their mother.
Don't crowd me. Don't crowd me.
Evie looks on from next door, shaking her head.
Okay.
Rose sees Evie watching, scowls at her, and enters the house.
Okay.
Afterward, Agnes drives along the four-lane highway. Later, she cruises along a hilly side road. Soon after, she parks close to the house with the craft shop and gazes at it dreamily, chin resting upon her hands. A young teenage girl emerges and walks down the front steps. The girl sees Agnes looking at her and stares back curiously. Agnes backs away, then drives out of the parking lot. Mystified, the girl lights a cigarette and watches Agnes speed away. Later, Agnes peels carrots at the kitchen table. Teresa enters.
Could you get Mother to turn that down a bit, do you think?
That is turned down.
Are you driving me or am I taking the car?
She looks into the next room.
This is the regular thing. We get together and talk once in a while.
Louise!
Does she know about it?
She who?
She. The girlfriend.
What about her?
Does she know you get together and talk?
I wouldn't know, would I?
Louise!
What?
Are you driving me or am I taking the car?
Louise, I'm talking to you. Louise!
My show's on.
You don't watch anything long enough to have a show, Louise. Where are the keys?
I've got them here.
Agnes hands her the keys.
Where were you with the car?
Nowhere. Good luck. Whatever.
Thanks.
Or whatever.
Teresa leaves.
Won't get to him in time and throws his...
Louise stick. Watches a hockey game in the next room.
Louise, try to save Mother out of love.
Louise stares at the screen, oblivious.
Louise, do you hear me?
That's his second goal of the night.
Agnes stands in front of the TV.
What?
Got the Chinook defense off guard.
Hey,
taking advantage
no.
of a bad pass by Martley.
I'm watching that, okay?
With a game-winning save on a
watch
shot
this.
By
Agnes grabs the remote and turns off the TV.
Give me that.
We're taking a break.
It's my TV! I paid for it!
We're taking a break!
They run outside. Louise chases Agnes around the house.
Agnes!
Oh, I'm not giving it! You're gonna have to get it!
Yeah, well, don't worry, I will!
They race past Evie into the house. Louise pounces on Agnes.
Your back seems fine to me.
It's just bending down. I'm okay for tackling.
Hey, don't be mad at me.
I'm not mad at you. I'm just...
Louise grabs the remote, but Agnes takes it back. Later, upstairs.
Now what do you suppose she's doing with him now? I'd put good money on not talking.
Stop it, Mother.
You can talk on the phone. You don't have to see somebody to talk to them.
Agnes and Louise play cards beside Rose's bed.
Never liked that Donnie.
It's none of our business.
What she ever saw in him, I'll never know.
Love is blind.
It's got nothing to do with love. Unless you mean making love.
Mother.
Oh, whatever. Give us another drink. And turn off the fiddle.
While Agnes crosses the room to the tape machine, Rose pours herself a generous shot of booze.
You're not getting out to your bowling so much these days, Louise?
Not so much.
You should. You're looking a bit puffy.
Louise shoots her mother an acid look.
You been balling, Louise?
No.
She smiles bashfully.
I have a drink, Agnes.
I don't think so, Mother.
Oh, have a drink. Have a drink.
She half fills a tumbler.
But just one, see? That's the thing with you. You gotta tell yourself one and stick to it. For four. The money case is four. And I know it.
She slides the tumbler toward Agnes, who studies it thoughtfully. Louise looks at Agnes anxiously. Agnes picks up the tumbler, sniffs it, and looks at Louise. She dumps its contents into Rose's glass.
No, thank you.
Fine, then.
Agnes lights a cigarette.
Fine.
The card game continues. Later, downstairs, Agnes pulls a tray of ice cubes out of the freezer. Teresa enters the house.
Hey, what are you doing? I'm just grabbing some ice. Her mother?
Yes.
Grab some for me, too. You should fix your shirt first, cut it on inside out.
I do not.
But you check.
Right, you checked.
Get him out.
Teresa chases Agnes upstairs. Later, upstairs, Rose lies in a drunken stupor. Teresa wearily watches Louise and Agnes playing cards.
Put that one on again, Louise.
No, Mother, no, that's the night.
All right. All right. Then give me one of my pills, Teresa.
No, Mother.
Just one?
Not when you've been drinking, Mother.
What are you talking about?
You've had a lot to drink, Mother.
Oh, I've had twice this and taken three.
No, Mother.
Don't aggravate me, Teresa.
I'm off to bed.
Louise, feel like going for a spin?
I've been drinking.
You only ever have one that big.
I won't be able to sleep if I don't have a pill, Teresa.
Okay, I'll get you half. I'll drive you. Where do you want to go?
Half will do no good.
Where do you need to go? There you go. Where does she need to go?
Louise smiles and shrugs. After dark, Agnes and Teresa park outside a bungalow.
What I should have done is just not budged. But it all came on so fast and I just wanted no part of it. You know, years ago, when we first got the house, Mother was all, make sure your name's on the mortgage. But, you know, at the time, that just seemed like, I don't know, expecting trouble or something.
A light comes on in the house.
Somebody's in the bathroom. They put in a new tub. The old tub was fine. Look at those pansies, they're an embarrassment. And that's the thing about the tree. I put that little sapling in out front myself last summer. It's my darn tree. She says it'll kill it to dig it up. Well, done in the bathroom. The tree's gonna die under her anyway. Somebody's going to bed. The tree's got no. Look at the pansies.
Back at the house, Agnes makes a phone call.
Hi, Sharon. It's Angie. I'm leaving a message in the back way because it's pretty late. I'm just checking in. Things are, they're going really well. I've looked into a couple of meetings, and yeah, things are going really well, and I'm feeling really Good. I'm feeling pretty good. Anyway, I... Bye.
She hangs up. Another day, shelves are filled with an assortment of baskets, pots, and knickknacks. Self-conscious, Agnes looks at the shelves and sneaks a sidelong glance. The girl at the cash is the one she's been snooping on. She catches Agnes looking at her.
Can I help you?
No.
Agnes holds a miniature flower basket.
I was wondering if you had another one of these.
There's none left there?
Agnes looks at the shelf.
Oh, yes. Oh, there they are. Yes. I see them. Two of these are good.
She takes the little baskets to the cash.
What are you reading?
Oh, just some dumb book for school.
Oh, Jane Eyre.
Well, you read it.
Oh, yeah.
How does it end?
Well, I think you better read it and find out for yourself.
Thanks. 2576?
Agnes hands her the money. She watches the girl's face intently as she makes change.
424 is your change.
She catches Agnes staring and quickly gives her the money and purchases.
What did I say?
The girl resumes reading.
Yes, right. Have a nice day.
Agnes takes a couple of steps and looks back.
It's sad.
The girl looks at her.
What is?
Jane Eyre. The ending.
Thanks.
Sure.
Agnes leaves the shop. Later, at the house, Teresa watches Agnes pull up in the car.
Trees are a little bigger.
Louise flicks the TV remote. Teresa sits beside her and picks up a newspaper. Agnes enters.
Where were you? Just cruising around. Louise, do you have any plans tomorrow night? Plans? Yeah, right.
I might.
Well, get out your datebook and check your plans, dear. What if we had your friend over for dinner?
What friend?
The truck.
Dory.
Louise doesn't want to be bothered with that sort of thing. Why not?
Yeah, let's have her over.
We won't have dinner anyway, we have supper.
What?
What?
Oh, Weavers.
Sometime later, Dory Jenkinson gives a recitation to Rose and the three sisters.
Of Widow St. Paula, of Wine Growers St. Vincent of Saragossa, of Writers St. Francis de Sales, of Young Girl St. Agnes, of Youth St. Gabriel, of the Sorrowful Mother.
Isn't that great?
Took me 2 years to get them all. I'm not perfect yet, though. I think I missed one. Did I leave out Gabriel the Archangel? He's the one for postal workers.
No, I think you got them all.
There's a lot of them.
It certainly is.
But do you have any other talents, dear?
I play a bit of guitar.
Huh? Oh, Louise, you used to play the guitar.
No, I didn't.
Louise was good at the guitar.
Shut up. Well, dinner's probably ready. Mother, do you want me to bring you something out?
No, dear. I'm fine.
I'll get it.
Soon after, Dory sits stiffly at the kitchen table, looking at the floral centerpiece. Agnes smiles at her.
This looks just gorgeous. And salad. That's a treat.
Louise looks down at the table self-consciously.
Louise, why don't you turn off the TV?
How come?
Nobody's watching it, and... company.
Oh, no, it's fine.
It's nice on in the background.
Teresa arrives.
Sorry, everybody. I gotta go. Go ahead without me. Louise, I'm taking the car. Where are you going? I just have to go out for a little while. Excuse me.
Agnes follows Teresa to the door.
Bonnie needs to see me. I'll be back in a little while.
Don't. Agnes grabs her.
Let go. Teresa, wait now. I'll be right back.
After dinner.
Well, that was excellent chicken.
Teresa has not returned.
I'd ask you for the recipe, but I'm not so much of a cook. Are you Louise?
What?
Are you much of a cook?
No.
She makes the turkey at Christmas.
Once.
It was good, though.
No, it wasn't. Anyway, should we move into the living room? There's ice cream. I'm pretty tired. Thanks for supper. I'll see you later.
Agnes and Dory watch as Louise leaves the table. They look at each other and smile uncomfortably. Later, as Agnes reads by herself, Teresa returns. She sits on the couch beside Agnes.
Some more chicken if you're hungry. I'm not really hungry, thanks. She left. Donnie, the girlfriend.
So, what does he want you to do about it?
He's upset.
Serves him right.
It's all my fault anyway, really, this whole mess. He wanted kids, but I wouldn't. That's a sin for me.
No, it isn't.
Say what you like, Agnes, but it is.
Agnes resumes reading. Teresa looks at her book.
What's that? Jane Eyre. I love that ending.
Agnes looks at her anxiously. Later, they watch a TV show featuring a man performing Latin dance steps with a vacuum cleaner. Louise comes downstairs.
Hey! I thought you went to bed.
Where's the ice cream?
In the fridge.
It'll get all soft.
I like it soft.
No.
You'll eat it anyway.
When Louise enters with a tub of ice cream, Teresa surrenders her chin.
Hey, too bad you missed supper. It was fun.
You didn't even stay for ice cream.
Well, I'm having it now.
Where is that old guitar anyway?
Well, that got thrown out years ago.
No, I saw it in the basement.
I'm gonna dig it up. Don't be starting with that racket.
Shut up, I will if I want to.
You will.
Leave her alone.
Yeah, I will.
Next day, as Agnes gazes out the window, Teresa hurries into the kitchen with her coat on.
Can you give me a hand here? Can you peel these? Mm-hmm. I gotta get supper and then I gotta go.
Where are you going?
Donnie's. This is in a terrible mood to clean. That one, I swear to God. She wouldn't look at the thing if the Pope was coming. Dust is like this.
So when are you moving back in?
I'm not moving back in. I'm going to clean the house. Smart, not.
Teresa looks out the window and sees Louise and Dory playing their guitars. Agnes knocks on the window. Agnes smiles at them, but Teresa doesn't. Later, Agnes reads to Rose.
I am not very tranquil in my mind. It is a very strange sensation to inexperienced youth to feel itself quite alone in the world, cut adrift from every connection, uncertain whether the port to which it is bound can be reached, and prevented by many impediments from returning to that it has quitted.
The old woman clutches an empty tumbler and listens.
That sensation. The glow of pride warms it, but then the throb of fear disturbs it. And fear with me became predominant when time elapsed and I was still alone.
Agnes mulls over these words and looks at Rose. Later, at the craft shop, the girl walks down the front steps. Looking across the parking lot, she hesitates for a moment. Agnes is parked a short distance away. The girl steps toward the Chevy.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
Smoke?
No, thank you.
So where do you live?
Toronto.
Oh, yeah? So what's Toronto like?
Good. Nice.
I heard it sucks.
Sort of. Sometimes can.
Probably not as much as this place sucks, though. So, what are you doing sitting out here?
I'm just waiting. To go. Which I should probably do right now.
Yeah, whatever.
See you later, Nate.
Whatever.
When she turns away, Agnes watches her go.
Oh, God.
Sometime later, Agnes drives home. There's an ambulance stopped outside the house with its lights flashing. Two paramedics leave the house as Agnes enters.
What's going on?
Louise looks at her.
What happened? She's fine now. What happened? I got home, she wasn't breathing right, so I called the doctor. She was choking, the doctor called the ambulance.
What was it?
Tumors are all into her larynx. They've got her on oxygen. Apparently her voice is pretty much gone.
Agnes looks at Louise in dismay.
You said you were going to be here. You said you were going to be home at 3 o'clock.
I didn't say that. Where were you?
She was off running the roads with Dory. Where were you?
I was cruising around.
You said you were going to be here.
Shut up.
Rose dozes upstairs in her room. Agnes looks in on her. Awakening, Rose shifts in bed and watches Agnes smoking a cigarette beside her bedroom door.
Where's Teresa?
I think she's out back.
Oh, hurry up. Give me a cigarette.
I don't think...
Oh, I'm not interested in your thinking. I want a cigarette.
Agnes crosses the room and gives her the lit cigarette. Rose inhales deeply, luxuriating in the smoke.
Where have you been spending all your time?
Huh? Just on my own.
That's not like you.
I'm not so much like me as I used to be.
Rose takes another drag.
You do what you have to do.
What?
Agnes stares at her, stunned.
Mother? Jesus.
Teresa arrives and sees the cigarette.
For God's sake, did you give her this? What are you, nuts? Go on, take this. Go on, take it and get out of here with it. Go.
As Agnes leaves, Teresa places an oxygen mask over Rose's mouth. Later, in the kitchen.
Can't be letting her smoke, Agnes.
Teresa?
I brought her some of that nicotine gum.
Teresa?
Give her a stick of that if she's having a nick fit.
Teresa?
What?
I think we should go and see Dad.
Stop it. I think we should.
Louise enters.
What? I think we should go see Dad.
Why?
Absolutely not. We're not getting into that, not while Mother's still alive.
I think it's the right thing to do.
Do you? You know what the right thing to do.
She grabs Agnes's craft shop bag from atop the fridge.
Is this the right thing to do?
What?
Teresa empties the bag onto the kitchen table.
Where do these come from?
I saw them at a...
Oh, now you're gonna lie to me. You knew the store's what your price tag. Promise me you weren't gonna start anything.
I'm not starting anything.
You talked to her? Did you talk to her?
Yes. You saw her?
Does she know who you are?
No.
Or she better not.
Or what?
Or maybe you can start thinking about making your way back home.
I'm just trying to make sense of some things.
What you should do, both of you, you stop it with this Dory thing, and you stop it with your cruising around. Both of you, what you need to do is get your shit together and start thinking about what's going on right here in this house. Do you hear me?
Louise leaves the room. Soon after, Louise plays her guitar at Rose's bedside. Rose watches with an oxygen mask strapped over her mouth and nose. Agnes enters.
I'm gonna step out for a little bit.
See ya.
Rose signals Agnes to approach her bedside. She hands Agnes a post-it note with a big heart drawn on it.
You too. Bye.
Agnes strides out of the room, dressed in a stylish outfit. Rose worriedly watches her leave. Sometime later, Agnes parks outside the craft shop, wearing sunglasses and smoking. She grabs the keys from the ignition, then drinks from a bottle in a paper bag. Inside the shop, she inspects a porcelain bell.
So pretty. And handy. If you want to get someone's attention, you don't have to yell, just...
I like your glasses.
Agnes removes them.
Here, try them on.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Agnes drops them on the counter.
You can have them. Your hair's coming out my ears.
Look at your nails. Such a pretty color. They're all chipped.
You got a pen?
Joni hands her one, and Agnes writes on a pad.
If you ever get stuck in Sydney and you need a place to stay, here. We got lots of room. I mean, you know, you need a place to stay.
Joni nods.
It's a bit of a drive for you, isn't it? From Sydney to here?
It's all right. It's pleasant.
Agnes grins.
Well, what's pleasant about it?
You know, the scenery. Like this.
She motions to a small painting.
This is beautiful.
My mother did that. That's where most of this crap comes from. Did you want to talk to her? Chrissy?
No, that's okay. I'm fine.
What is it, Joni?
Nothing. I gotta go, but, you just tell her that, just tell her.
As Agnes leaves, Joni smiles. Chrissy enters through another door.
Well, who was it?
Oh, I don't know. Just some freak.
Joni?
Well, she was.
Chrissy hurries to the front door, looking outside worriedly. She sees the Chevy splash through the parking lot onto the road and speed away. That night, in a tavern.
They got everybody saying,
oh, I got a problem.
Well, of course, Agnes sits at a table drinking with friends.
Yeah.
Now, there's some poor sap. You know, Joe's been sober for 19 years on Thursday, right? And everybody's clapping. And there's poor Joe, fucked up. I mean, see, the guy needs a fucking drink.
Just have a good time.
Yeah, like one
and basically
time.
It's dating service for neurotics.
Yeah, well,
everybody's got to tell the goddamn story. I'm sick of telling my goddamn story. That's why I come down here, see? And nobody wants to hear about it. It's all shh. That's what they should put on a causeway. You know, the sign, wherever it is, 100,000 welcomes or whatever it is. That's, they should just put shh.
Agnes stands on her chair.
Does anybody want to hear my story?
Ugh, sit down, Agnes.
Shut up, Mother. You're drunk. Oh, nobody wants to hear my story. Does anybody want to dance?
I'll dance with you.
I bet you will.
She jumps into the arms of a bearded young man and waltzes drunkenly. Later, in a basement rec room, the friends watch the young man setting up lines of cocaine on a mirror.
All that other stuff may just be trying not to be me. It's hard. You gotta find whatever little ways out you can.
Tomorrow morning's gonna be shit, so let's have fun tonight.
Egg fuck, exactly.
Yeah, it's already...
The young man offers Marlene some cocaine.
You gotta be kidding me.
He offers it to Agnes, who accepts.
Hey, I'm going. You coming, Agnes?
You gotta be kidding.
Yeah, well, see you later.
Right on.
As Marlene leaves, Agnes snorts a line of cocaine.
I mean, what do I know?
Later, Agnes and another girl talk.
I mean, but I know what's going on. You know, I'm 15. I don't have to be told. It's my body. I know what's going on with it, right? So I know.
That was your dad?
Yeah.
Like your stepdad or your dad?
My father.
Wow. I could make a book.
Yeah, I could write a fucking book. I'd be so wanted it to be a girl. Because then we'd be kind of this, like, perfect family of these four perfect sisters, right? And we were going to name her Marion Bridge. Like, after the song, you know? I'll trade you 10 of your cities for Marion Bridge and the pleasure she brings.
Oh, I love that song. We got that tape. Mickey, where's that tape we got off that band Bredora last summer?
If we could just have Marion Bridge. Everything would change.
How's the rest of it go? Mickey, where's that tape at?
I don't know. Give me that line now.
What line now? There's no lines.
Fuck you, there was three on the mirror.
Agnes stares out a window at the early morning sunshine.
Not, there was three.
I'm not lying, Mickey.
Soon after, Agnes walks aimlessly toward the shore.
Where's that tape? Jesus
Christ.
She sits amid pieces of shattered concrete and gazes across the water. As she opens her purse to get her cigarettes, she finds her mother's post-it note and gazes at it. Looks out across the bay. A town nestles against the hillside on the opposite shore. Later, at home, Teresa lies awake in bed. She sits up when she hears Agnes come in. Teresa listens to her sister's footsteps. She swings her legs out of bed and grabs a housecoat. Meanwhile, Agnes sits at the top of the stairs, staring into space. Teresa arrives, sits behind Agnes, and gazes at her sadly.
Is this a go again?
Agnes shakes her head. Teresa's eyes are moist with tears.
I was up all night. Couldn't sleep. I was worried about you. I feel like... I don't know. Sometimes I'm such a coward and I don't know why. Is it my fault?
Agnes turns toward her.
No. No. Please, Agnes, don't. Don't start. Please don't.
Agnes sobs.
Agnes, no.
Agnes, no.
Teresa rests her head against Agnes's back and sobs. Agnes raises her head.
I thank my
Later, in Rose's bedroom, Agnes reads as Teresa looks on.
Then he stretched his hand out to be led. I took that dear hand, held it a moment to my lips, and then let it pass round my shoulder. Being so much lower of stature than he, I served both for his prop and his guide. We entered the wood and wended homeward.
Agnes hands the book to Teresa, who examines it and tosses it out a window. She walks off.
Teresa?
That night, Agnes sits on the front step with the book, smoking. Teresa arrives in the car. She smiles when she sees Agnes. Teresa sits on the step beside Agnes.
Sorry about the book. I'm sure it's not the first time she's been thrown out the window. Donnie shaved off his mustache.
When?
Last year when all this craziness started. Just tonight when I was talking to him. It's like I never really noticed his mouth before. I watched him. And I thought, it's not like the kind of mouth you trust anything it says. And then I thought, I never gave him kids. I didn't trust him. And then I thought, I don't trust anybody. You know? I know. I guess that's something to work on. When I get done with this.
Teresa steps toward the car. She opens the back door and rummages inside. She pulls out the sapling she planted at the bungalow and smiles. Next day, as Agnes and Teresa park outside the craft shop, Joni emerges.
There she is.
As she steps toward the car, Agnes gets out.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey.
Hi. Teresa watches them together. Then gets out of the car. As the three walk away beside the road, Chrissy steps out of the craft shop. Mystified and concerned, she watches them walking away. Soon after, Joni takes beer from a fridge. She steps toward Agnes and Teresa and offers them a beer.
No, thanks. I'll take one.
Teresa and Joni open their beers.
You're not old enough to drink.
What, are you a cop?
No.
Relax. Are you sure you don't want one? There's tons.
No, thanks. I'm driving.
Oh, my boyfriend, he drives better when he is drinking. He can concentrate on the road better, he says.
Is this your boyfriend's place?
Yeah. Steve. So, what's your names?
Carmel. She's Carmel. And I'm Camille.
Sorry, which one's which?
Carmel. Camille.
I'm Joni. Joni sucks.
It's nice.
Yeah, it is not. But Joni, isn't my real name. I don't know my real name.
Oh, yeah? Oh, we probably should get going.
You don't want something else?
Oh, no, thanks. Camille, we should probably get going.
I thought you were Camille.
Oh, yeah, I am. I talked to myself. Carmel, maybe we could get going? Yes, I guess, yes. Thanks for the beer.
You didn't have a beer.
Thanks for mine. Bye now. Bye.
Agnes smiles and tenderly touches Joni's shoulder on her way out. Outside.
She's too young to have a boyfriend.
How old were you when you met Donnie?
Oh, shut up.
Carmel?
Camille? It's better than Carmel. She knows.
She doesn't know.
She knows.
Agnes looks over her shoulder and sees Joni staring at her through a window. At home, the three sisters gaze out the living room window at the newly planted sapling.
Mother always wanted a tree out there.
Hmm.
How long before we'll be able to sit under it?
Depends how close to the ground you're willing to get.
It's still a bit sad.
Yeah, it is. Well, you'd be sad, too, if you've been living under that killer for a year.
A car pulls up.
Hey, who's that?
Oh, dear.
Oh. Is it?
Yeah.
Soon after, Chrissy sits fretfully on the living room couch. The sisters sit on the other side of the room.
So have you all been to see her, or...?
No, just I have. And her. Us. We have.
And what have you told her?
Nothing.
And what are you planning on telling her?
I don't know.
When she asks about her father... What will you say? Oh, look, I know this must be very painful for you, for all of you, but Joni, she's just a teenager, and she's going through a very difficult time. She's wonderful, but she's a handful. I just want you to think about how this might affect her.
Teresa and Louise exchange glances.
I don't want to cause any trouble.
Well, it would really help if you could tell me what it is you did want.
I don't know.
Look, Joni's going to be 18 in a couple of years. Why don't we wait and let her decide what she wants?
Agnes mulls this over and nods. Chrissy nods as well.
I'll see myself out.
The sisters remain seated as Chrissy walks out.
I guess that's the end of it, then.
They ponder the events of the last few minutes. Later, Rose writes, "My dear girls," on a pad of paper and continues writing. Soon after, her task completed, Rose sinks back against her pillow, exhausted. She rings a porcelain bell.
All right, Mother, we're all here. So, what is it?
Rose touches the pages she's written, and Agnes steps to her side and picks them up.
My dear girls, I know there have been times I haven't been the mother I should have been. Times when I turned away from some things I didn't want to see. But at those times, I always believed that what I was doing was best for everybody. And in the case of things that have gone on... Mother, don't know.
Shut up.
And in the case of things that have gone on, all we can do is look to see if there's beautiful things in the terrible things. From where I sit now, all I can see is where I went wrong. Look for the good in it and hope because of the good for forgiveness.
Teresa and Louise gaze at their mother. As Agnes leans over and kisses her cheek, Rose fights back tears.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Sometime later, cars park beside a church that overlooks the water's edge. Inside, the pews are filled.
Was blind, but now I see. Through many days.
Up front, Louise strums her guitar and sings.
And snares, I have.
Agnes and Teresa watch her from the front pew.
Come, 'tis grace has brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home.
Outside, dark clouds extend to the horizon, reflecting in the water. Later, Agnes sits on her bed after taking a shower. Across the room, Louise is under the covers, facing the wall.
You all right?
I'm all right. Are you?
Yeah.
Agnes gets under her covers and lies down.
Agnes?
Yeah?
I think there's something I want.
What is it?
Seems like maybe it's too much to want.
Is it something to do with Dory?
Yeah.
Then that's what you should do.
Teresa wouldn't like it.
Teresa has nothing to do with it. Teresa will get over it.
Louise smiles.
Okay.
The sisters go downstairs to answer the door.
What's going on?
Somebody's at the front door.
Who is it?
I don't know.
Well, tell them to go around the side. I don't know who it is.
Louise clears aside some junk and opens the door. It's Joni.
Hello?
Joni is confused.
Is Carmel home?
Who?
Joni sees Agnes.
Oh, hi. You said if I was ever in Sydney. And I am. It's freezing.
Later that night, the Chevy drives through a village. Into the parking lot in front of the craft shop. Agnes is at the wheel with Joni beside her. She stops the car and looks at Joni. Joni looks up.
I finished the end of Jane Eyre.
Did you like it?
Joni smiles shyly.
Not really.
Agnes grins.
Me either.
Joni averts her gaze uncomfortably.
Your real name's not Carmel, is it?
No.
Is it Angie?
Agnes.
Agnes.
Agnes. Angie.
Joni gazes at Agnes searchingly, then looks away. Chrissy steps out of the craft shop and watches them. In the car, Joni turns to Agnes.
Are you my mother?
Agnes meets her gaze.
She's your mother.
Joni looks at Chrissy. Then at Agnes.
What's my real name?
Her eyes plead with Agnes.
Joni.
Joni nods. Agnes smiles. Joni opens the door and steps out. Agnes watches as she walks away from the car. Joni climbs the front steps toward Chrissy. They hug. Tense with longing, Agnes watches their embrace. Chrissy waves to her and takes Joni inside. Agnes relaxes. Next day, the three sisters leave the house together and step toward the car. Chevy backs out of the laneway. They drive off. The car travels along a waterfront road. Teresa drives along a secondary road. She turns into a laneway in front of a modern house with a wishing well on the front lawn. The three sit uncomfortably in the living room.
I want to go home.
Drink your pop.
As Louise sips her pop, a woman enters.
Everybody okay? Can I get anybody anything?
How long is he going to be?
Well, casserole's almost ready. Then we'll get him a sweater and he'll be in.
She looks at them coolly and leaves the room.
Be nice.
Why?
I want to go home.
Drink your pop.
Later, Louise takes another sip as the three sit at a dining room table. Hearing a door open, they look up expectantly. The woman leads a doddering old man toward them by the hand.
Look who it is, Ken. Look, it's your girls, Ken.
Teresa stands, but Agnes remains seated, and Louise stares down at her plate. As the woman guides the man to the table, he smiles feebly.
Hello, how are you?
Fine. Hello, Dad.
He slumps into his chair.
You gotta kind of catch his eye to get his attention. It's his hearing and that, you know.
She wipes his face with her hand.
Anyway, I'm so sorry about your mom. But, you know, it's a blessing in a way, isn't it? I mean, she was so sick for so long. I thought we might make it to the funeral, but it's hard to get out these days. Ken's really slowed down the last couple of years, needs help all the time.
The man gazes vacantly at his plate.
Eat your bun.
Agnes stares at him, spellbound. Then looks away. After the meal, Louise leads the others out of the house. Agnes holds the door for her father and steps away as he comes outside, grinning inanely. Agnes turns back and confronts him close up, staring intently through cold eyes. He gazes back at her vacantly. Agnes studies his face, then turns away and walks off without a backward glance toward the others. Another day at home, Teresa packs a cooler in the kitchen. Carries it out of the kitchen and through the living room to the door. Outside, Agnes takes the cooler to the car as Teresa follows. Louise has just arrived in Dory's flashy pickup and grins at her sisters. They both stare at her.
What the heck is this?
It's our new car.
It's not a car, it's a truck.
Isn't she beautiful?
Where'd you get it in your head to do this?
Agnes told me to.
Teresa glares at Agnes.
I told her you wouldn't like it, but she said you'd get over it.
steps toward the pickup and heaves the cooler into the back.
Yes, I do.
Agnes slips into the cab and honks the horn. Louise holds the door for Teresa, who sits beside Agnes. Soon after, the three speed along a four-lane highway.
Out on the Myra on warm afternoons, old men go fishing with black line and spoons. And
if the truck crosses a large bridge,
they never complain. And I wish I was with them again.
It's boys in their boats called.
Later, the sisters walk beside the sea.
Teasing.
Agnes and Louise lug the cooler as they follow Teresa.
Into the evening, courting begins. I wish I was with them again.
Can you?
They all smile as they cross a sandy beach toward the water.
The universe, more fit for princes and kings. I'll trade you 10 of your cities for Marion Bridge.
Joni and Chrissy are waiting for them, sitting on a blanket. Agnes and Louise put down the cooler beside the blanket, and everyone crowds around happily, greeting each other.
Summer nights, bonfire.